Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/spoken. That's LinkedIn.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Private Parts. How you doing, people? Private Parters, how are we? We all right? Having a lovely day. Quickly, before we kick things off, I've said it in the bonus episode, but if you haven't got my tickets yet to my book tour, I'm doing one night only in London, 20th of September, Garrick Theatre. You can click on my bio in my Instagram and go and grab your tickets. You get a free book with it. Well, you don't get a free book, but you get a book. But the ticket price includes a book. A really close friend of mine who you all know and love is going to be on stage with me chatting to me. It's going to be hilarious. You can ask me questions. You can shout things at me. You can heckle. You can do whatever you want. Go and grab your tickets in my Instagram bio. You're going to love it. And also, you can pre-order my book if you want to. I can explain. Or wait till the 16th of September to go and get it. I'd just love to see you there. Be great to have you there. Go and present for someone. 20th of September. What are you doing? Nothing. Coming to watch me on stage. I'm going to have a really fun time. Anyway, enough of that because we have a great episode today. We've been recently having a lot of sort of people on who are in the digital world. Digital world, so people who are YouTubers and podcasters and things like that. And today we have the lovely people from the Fellas podcast on the podcast. If you know who I mean by Cal Freezy, he's a massive YouTuber. He's a huge YouTuber, actually. He is. He's on the podcast. And we also have Josh, a.k.a. Burnt Chip. They have a podcast called The Fellas Podcast. It does super well. They're super wicked guys, really nice. Huge digital people once again. Digital people, that sounds weird, but they're big YouTubers, podcasters. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we talk about so many things. Life as a YouTuber, life as a podcaster, life in London, what they do. It's just full of everything. And of course, Alex is with me today. You guys enjoying Alex? He's lovely. He's just great. Anyway, enough of me rambling. Here's the intro to the podcast of Private Parts with the Fellas. Go and grab your tickets to watch me on stage in London 20th of September and get my book. I can explain. You're going to love it. Anyway, here we go. Bye, enjoy, love. Oh, yeah. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, please do. I totally forgot to say this. Send us an email. contact@privatepartspodcast.com. Send us some stories. Charity nominations, anything at all, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us an email, we'd love that. Anyway, on with the podcast. Josh, let's put some fucking gloves on and let's get in the ring. Let's see what
I swear to God, I'll put my life savings on Josh to win that. This man will not lose that scrap.
Get the Bloody Marys. I'm going in the ring.
So, speaking of calendars, Josh, he did a calendar.
Did you? Oh, was God. It topless?
I'm still living off the royalties at the minute, actually. Yeah. I came here in a limo.
We did actually see you get out of the limo, but you got out as if like there was like paparazzi waiting for you. Yeah. It looked like you were picture ready. You were picture ready.
It's like a Love Island entrance with a pub.
I'm always ready. I'm always ready.
Why did you?
Were you guys looking at me? Yeah. When I got out of the cab. Yeah. Oh, sick. Awesome. Yeah.
We did. We saw this guy get him. We're like, who's that stud getting out? And then it was you. And then you started pouting at like people in the street as you were walking in.
Well, I like to make a good impression.
To randomers on the street.
I think I was actually just like trying to cry. I think I was crying from last night. Holding off the tears.
We got to put this. So Josh, you went out last night.
Yeah, I went out last night. But I went home early. I went home at 11:30.
It was a Sunday. What are you doing?
I did drive past Fabric. Probably saw you in the queue.
What a way to stitch me up. I thought we had trust here.
How was your night then? Fabric, what was it? What was the music of choice?
So I arrived. I'd actually come from a wedding. So it was like two different worlds. And there was a huge fight as soon as I arrived. I wasn't involved.
What, to get to see you? Oh, it's Alex Mitten.
Yeah, I got out of my limo, started pouting. No, there was these girls were just like having it out. It was quite sad actually. But anyway,
you know what? A girls on girl fight is fucking entertaining though. Yeah. That shit goes off. Like, I'd rather watch that than two guys scrap it out, because two guys will scrap it out and they're like, oh, like it's what it is. But it's rare that you see two chicks
really vicious.
Go at it.
Like they pull hair, they spit. It was. Yeah, it was quite full on.
I got beaten up.
Some people like that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. You got like beaten that up by, yeah. I got beaten up by a couple of girls. More than a couple of girls,
actually. Yeah, but you paid good money for that. Yeah, I was tied to a chair.
That did happen once as well. Well, the first time, so I got beaten up, I was at Leeds University and I was at the bar. And I didn't do anything. I honestly stood at the bar and some girl came up to me and said something to me and I went, "Hunch, she was from Liverpool."
You definitely did something just to...
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Of course
I,
you did.
What
you
would I have done?
There has to be some sort of...
They're not just going to start smacking your face.
I got that type
of
face.
Do you know where my family money comes from?
Anyway, so they started saying to me, "Oh, you're dust. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, they started beating me up.
"You're dust."
Yeah, you're dust. And then I stood up in all of my stature.
Suddenly
yeah.
They went, whoa.
Yeah, this big guy. And they went, and one of them went, "What are you going to do, hit a girl?" And I was like, "What the fuck am I going to do? I'm being beaten up by you guys."
Like, when you say beaten up, what, are you getting, like, chinned here? Or are we talking, like, or are you just getting, like, slapped about in, like, a flirty way? And you've gone, "Oh, I'm getting beaten up," like this.
No, Cal, I got beaten up. They honestly, like, they were, like... hitting my head with their fists. That's beaten up.
Hitting my head with their fists.
Yeah, that's
beaten up. It's like a game of whack-a-mole at Leeds Uni.
Whack a prick.
Josh, have you ever been beaten up?
No, I don't think so, actually.
No, you got volleyed to the face, though, at a train station. Do you remember that?
No, that was my friend that got volleyed to the face.
Oh, it was your mate.
Yeah, he tried protecting me and he fell over and Donnie just lapped him in the face with a kick.
Oh, someone kicked
him in the face.
Yeah, but it was actually like a proper kick as well. The guy was a football player too, so it was a pretty impressive kick. I was stood there like...
The guy was a football player.
Last technique, that.
Goal! Yeah. Wait, he got kicked in the head?
Yeah, he came away with his face, which was all bloodied up.
Oh my God.
Has that ever happened to you?
No, I haven't been like... volleyed or bicycle kicked to the face, but
being from Scotland, surely you must have.
It's quite a rare thing, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah. Do you know what? I haven't actually been in like a proper scrap. You had stuff in school, but I feel like it doesn't really count. But I try and stay away from that stuff. And if it does, like I said, I prefer being a spectator in these things.
Yeah, dude. Listen,
I'm creepy dude on the side just recording, just
throwing in cash. Yeah. Go on this one right here.
I'm the same as you. I like to think that I'm hard. No. When it comes to it, I'm running. No. You don't want me on your side because I am not helping out.
I like you go gym, no?
Yeah, yeah. You're in decent shape.
Yeah, but like that's not fighting shape.
No, it's true. You know, there's a big difference, right? Because this is what we said. I said, you look at Chip, right, and you think like this man, like he would get snapped, right? I swear to God, you know when some people just give off like crackhead energy, right? That's what he gives off. And I promise you, he would be able to batter every single person in here, even if we all attacked him at once, right? This man, there's certain people that just have a switch in their head that when that shit goes off, it is complete survival mode. I don't have that switch.
I paid for this.
How do you get crackhead energy? Do you have to smoke
crack?
Is that the only way you can get it?
That might be one of the ways.
Wait, so Josh, you had that moment where your eyes are suddenly switched. Does he have that switch to the eyes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like when you see red. You see red and then it's just that's
no,
it.
No, I don't really ever get angry. I think it's just back in the day when we used to live together in like that YouTuber tower, Halo Tower. Do you ever hear of it?
Yeah.
Where all the YouTubers just kind of lived in one place. Yeah. We'd all just go and chill in one flat and for some reason...
This is just what we did on a Saturday night.
A couple of the boys used to love USC. So we all just used to start scrapping? Just on the floor and it'd be like 50-minute brawls.
Chip, was it undefeated? 50
minutes? Yeah. God, that's long.
Undefeated champion. You're really? Up the tower. It sounds kind of kinky, but it was pretty cool.
We had, I remember at school, we had this game where, I don't know, it wasn't even a game, it was really weird, where used to basically hyperventilate. This is so bad, so anyone who's listening, do not try this at home, but we did it at school, which is where you used to hyperventilate. And then as you used to hyperventilate...
How do you hyperventilate?
Hyperventilate.
Oh,
right. And then what would happen...
I've heard about this, and you push their chest.
Push their chest. Yes, I remember this.
You push their chest, and then you would faint. And it was like this game we were playing. Anyway, Dave Pumphrey, poor guy.
Dave Pumphrey.
There is no way. You've got a mate with the last name Pumphrey.
The names from his school are hilarious. They're so ridiculous.
Dave Pumphrey. We did it to him. And he landed on... And we fell onto the... No one catches you. And he fell onto the carpet. And he got... such a bad carpet burn all the way down his face.
How did you get carpet burn? Were you dragging him around the
No, because he fell onto the carpet and like got a bad carpet burn. The thing Pumphrey. That guys do when we're younger is just mad. Like, were you crazy when you were younger? Or were you kind of...
Probably.
What do you mean probably? Can you not remember? Because you got hit. But I feel like when we're younger, like we just had no boundary. And as we get older, we realise that actually we get sort of more sense. Can you not think that a little bit?
Well, he was in fabric last night.
Yeah, zero sense. I'm actually going the other way.
So you went to fabric last night?
Yeah, I'm still conducting that social experiment.
Did you go home?
Looking into Booze Britain.
did you go home?
Yeah, I went home. What time? It depends what you classify as home, though. Oh. Wherever I lay my hat is my home. No, I did. I did go home.
You did go home?
Yeah, I'm very responsible. I knew we had today.
So. Yeah, I feel like it's... But also, the thing is, being hungover and doing something like this is a hard thing. Because I don't know. Well, when we used to shoot Chelsea and things like that and do all that kind of stuff, we used to be hungover all the time. And I feel like we're now pro at doing it. It's kind of okay.
Do you think it was noticeable?
Yes,
all the time. So many scenes on Chelsea, I look haggard.
Really? See, I used to watch that a while back when obviously you guys were the stars of the
show. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah.
So I used to watch that, and they put like this Instagram filter over it that just that it's a certain look.
Makes me look older. It made me look tough.
No, did you actually really?
No, it did. It made me look much better than I was.
It just disguised everyone because you could tell I was there. Like, there's no way everyone here is just like not coming off the back of a night out. Right, and so, but everyone looked completely fine, and I feel like that's what that Instagram filter sort of.
The best one was in Ibiza when they came and got us from a club at 5 a.m. and then we had to go and sit on the rocks and film a scene. We're there.
What?
Yeah.
Wired out of your head there. Just sat
not me. I've been drinking green tea all night.
Drinking a lot of Red Bull.
Is the show still going? Like, is it still?
Still going.
You know it's still going, big guy. Come on.
I actually never.
Can I check your background? Is it us?
I've actually never watched the show.
Have you never watched it?
No. Like,
you are missing
out. I never. It was like Only Ways Essex was one of them as well. Was that like a rival show?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a rival show because it was sort of reality.
Same, similar time it started, right?
But how long have you guys been doing YouTube for then, would you say?
Since like 18, something, maybe like 9 years.
Yeah, we're doing like 10, 11, I think 11 years.
Do you know what's crazy? You're doing it 10, but you're still like at the top of the game.
Yeah, maybe.
I would say so. Yeah. I would say so. Yeah. But so that's, I always find it impressive that anyone stays top of their game for like a decade, especially in entertainment like that. So
it's
tough. How do you think you do it?
Do you know what? It helps having successful friends.
Yeah,
for
stay friends with KSI, and then that's what we do.
And you can just, no, but the honest truth is the amount of times we've had to change what we do is like,
really,
yeah. Because back then we started with like a lot of gaming related stuff, and that's what sort of what was popping on YouTube back then. You had you know, like any like FIFA, Call of Duty, things like that, because people would type in. It was a very young audience that would go onto YouTube, and so it was just people just typing in things like, you know, how to be better at Call of Duty, shit like that. So that was like YouTube's very infant.
Fuck, you had to have your fingers on the pulse to like understand what the hell is going on.
And then from there in the UK, anyways, because we had such a UK based audience, people started to really like football challenges. So I did like 2 years of just straight doing fucking crossbar.
Same,
challenges.
And I'm absolutely shit at football, so which makes it even funnier. I don't know how I swindled that one. I am so bad, but I swindled it, the whole thing.
But we both did, like, we're both not good at football. Yeah. But here we are doing football challenges because that's what the people want to see. So we just played into that, and then. Once we were there, like, okay, they're starting to clock on that we are actually shit at football here. We're gonna have to switch it up again. So then we started doing just like the best way, because people always ask me, like, what sort of, how do you describe the videos that you make? And then the best way to describe it really is just me and my friends dicking around. Yeah. Like, that's ultimately the only way to describe the videos that I do.
But the thing which I think is, when does it become a, like, first when we did Chelsea, right? there was a moment where it was like a hobby to begin with, then it becomes like a career. So then you go, shit, this is a career. Probably when we realized that no one was going to hire us. So we're like, oh God, now we're going
to
make this.
Yeah, we've
really gone 2 feet in here. With you guys, just when was the time that you went, okay, this is going to be like a career for me? When did you think that?
I don't know. When I'd stop taking money off my mum.
Yeah.
Had my own money.
It's true. I can't remember. I think there was a time where, because I was going to go to uni, and then like 2-3 weeks just before that, I literally just got a paycheck in from YouTube, and it was enough to like, it was like a normal like monthly wage. It wasn't anything like crazy, but it was enough for me to go, I could actually live on this, I reckon. And so as soon as I got one paycheck in, and the next thing I did was call up my friends in London, like, I'm moving down, by the way.
I'm loaded, team.
Like, I thought I was fucking minted. Yeah. I was 17 at the time. And so, like, me getting in, like, 1.5-2 grand paycheck. And I was literally like, this is insane. This is sick. All just from playing games.
Did you go out that night?
No, I live out in a little...
You went to a strip club, didn't you?
Yeah, my tiny little town in Scotland, yeah, filled with crackheads and people missing, like, their full front teeth. But it was, yeah, it was...
That's a strip club, man.
Jeez, Josh, getting in. Yeah. But okay, I want to... Okay, this is the biggest thing, that, because I never quite get it. I understand, like, so with YouTube, I just don't get how the revenue works in it, because I had a YouTube channel that I did for, I always say this before.
You don't get how the revenue works because it didn't work out for you.
Yeah, and it did not work out for me. I did a YouTube channel for 4 years. Kyle, you came on it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the first time. What would that have been, like 6 years ago?
6 years ago. Kyle came on it very kindly.
This is Happy Hour.
This is Happy Hour. And I did like lots of videos, and I did that usually. I was just copying what everyone else is doing. I did not look at any algorithm or anything like that. I did not do any crossbar challenge. I saw someone was eating a cookie, so I went, "Oh, I'll eat a cookie." So that's literally what was happening.
I remember the time I came round to you as in filmed. I was like, "This guy has no fucking idea what he's doing." But do you know? But do you know what? Someone's told him to make a YouTube channel,
and
someone said, "I'll do all the legwork for you," and he's got
the management.
Yeah. Fine, whatever. Right, who do I need to get on my channel? Right, this guy looks like he'd fucking come on. Right,
what video did you like do? Oh. What video?
What did you have to do?
I think it was like an ice bath.
Did we do the ice bath?
Ice bucket. Oh my God. The ice bucket challenge.
No, ice bath challenge. Like, you sit in it, it's cold.
Yeah, I had seen Casper Lee,
do it.
I was like, well, that looks popular. Let's do that. And then I didn't realize there was like beef and like copying other people's videos. And
did you get a stick?
I think people were just like, isn't this what Casper Lee does? And I was like, yeah, but I'm doing it.
See, back then there was beef about that stuff, but now on YouTube, nobody gives a shit anymore about it.
So I did it for like 4 years or whatever. And I think I made 7 grand in like 4 years. That's it.
That's pretty fucking poor.
I know. So I wouldn't like say, okay, Josh, question for you. So if you do it, not you, but anyway, if you do like a video that does 1 million, I understand the CPM is different and stuff like that, so it's whatever, but typically what do you make from like 1 million?
It really does depend, because like, say, if the video is like 30 minutes long, like the Mystery Channel, that could make over, 10,000 from the 1 million.
Yeah.
But if it was a shorter video, you could make maybe just 1,000 or 2,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it there's such a big difference. People always ask that question, but it's impossible. But you know when you're making it roughly what you should. So yeah, like you said, if we're making like a 20 to 30 minute video, you'd be looking at like maybe like $8 per 1,000 views, which would be like £8,000 for 1 million views.
That's not nice.
Sorry, $8,000.
What's your most watched ever video?
Oh, shit. I don't actually know. I think I think it must be like some sort of football challenge.
Mine's definitely a FIFA one, like a pack opening back in the day.
But yeah.
Well, how many views is it?
I don't know. Maybe like.
Have a look at it. I want to know this.
Yeah, I'll have a look now.
I feel like I should know this shit.
I feel like mine's around 4 to 5 million. I feel like you've got a big one, surely.
Yeah.
Just case sign a title.
It has to be.
Great. I got so many questions. I'm just going to fart all these questions out because I'm so intrigued by
it. Actually, you know what?
What is it?
It doesn't have JJ in this one. This one is YouTubers blindfolded penalties.
Oh my God, it's 16 million.
16 million.
Mine's actually got Harry. Mine's a Harry one. It's got 3.5.
Yeah.
16 million.
So that's some good cash if it's at that rate you were talking.
Yeah, but back then, so only recently, like in the last maybe 2 or 3 years, have those sort of numbers come around. Like before, it was really normal just to get like $1 or $2 per 1,000 views. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'd been earning pretty much until the last like 2 or 3 years maybe. So yeah, like when people talk like, oh, YouTube money, it's like, yeah, now it's good.
It's better.
But before, it like for me, it was pretty... appreciate.
I because also, Cal, the other thing is, so many people think you're in the Sidemen, don't they?
Oh my fucking god! We
invited you on the podcast.
Yeah, do you
get this as well?
Don't get this, but we had Olivia Neal come on the podcast as a guest.
She fucking disrespected me on my own podcast.
She said, "You're in the Sidemen, right?" And he's like, "What?" Nah.
From there, I knew the podcast was over, bro. I started to wind it down.
Why do people think that you're in the Sidemen?
Because I've been friends with all these guys since forever. That's pretty much it. And I've also got my mate Calyx as well, who's doing his thing. And so me and him both get it, but it's like, you know, we've just been friends with those guys for ages, and we're all in each other's videos, so.
Because you know what the Sidemen are. Are you familiar with these YouTubers?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
You've heard of them?
Sidemen. Yeah. I was convinced.
You've got the calendar.
I've got the calendar. Yeah.
He said that so uncommitted. Yeah.
Well aware I know.
Yeah. In fact, I watched them on the way here.
But I feel like you guys have changed the game, because you know if we talk, you know, KSI, for example, right?
He's so driven.
That guy,
we had him on the podcast. He's just like unstoppable.
He's a hustler, isn't he?
But it's not even that. It's more the fact that his mentality. He just I admire it. He just thinks he's the best. Congrats to him. He honestly, and has he always been like that?
Yeah. Do you know what? He's always been someone to despite what anyone says about what he chooses to do, he really doesn't give a shit about what. Literally, even. He'll take some of like our stuff like as criticism or whatever, but realistically, he really doesn't care what people think, which is like the most surprising thing to me, because everyone says like, I don't care what anyone says, blah blah blah. And, like, I know you fucking care.
Yeah,
99.9% of people actually give a shit.
I care. Yeah. I real care.
Whereas this is probably the one person that I've really met that really actually doesn't fucking care.
Does he actually not?
No, because, well, the thing is, if he did,
maybe that's the secret. Yeah. Just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, and but that's probably the thing that I've managed to find the most impressive. And then like his work rate is crazy. Like, you look at his schedule and it's just relentless. Like, the guy doesn't get any time to himself.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I tell you what, but you guys as well must feel this, because I think that the world of social media is a really tricky one, because it leads towards like, it's like an anxiety-driven industry, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're constantly having to upload and change what you're doing, adapting, moving forward. And just suppose with you, so how do you deal with that, like, kind of side of... Because YouTube and Instagram, being an influencer, because... It's tough, right? And people don't realize that. They think you're just making videos and doing that, but it's way harder than that, isn't it?
I just stopped looking at comments. I haven't looked at them in a very long time. Even if I know the comments will be really good on one specific thing, I just don't bother. Don't look at the good ones, don't look at the bad ones, and just you can just go with whatever you think.
Yeah. But what happens? Because you must have had times in your lives where your views have gone like that.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah. You always have that side. It goes up, down, up, down.
Why does it do that? Why does the algorithms and stuff like screw you like that?
It's the way it fucking works.
Yeah, like, it's hard to say.
Jamie, on the last podcast, I can't remember who did we have on. We were talking about algorithms and stuff, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't care about it." We left, and he phoned me after. He's like, "Buddy, I'm really worried. Like, my views are like really down. I was like, we literally just spoke about this, and then phoned me again the next day. He's like, mate, they've not changed. I'm like,
okay, here, so do you think the world of social media is a good thing or a bad thing?
I love the memes on Twitter, man.
Yeah, like, but do you know what? It's not one of those where it's like there are good. There is the good and the bad of social media. It's not something that it's like, oh, fun. Like, could I live without it? And when I click, like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I've had those times where you can just completely switch it off. Ultimately, like, yeah, my job does depend on it, but I'm confident that I could go and do something else as well. So
yeah, but you guys now have drifted into that world. You guys are podcasts as well, the Fellas Podcast. Yes. Right? You guys are smashing this.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great podcast because you guys do what we do. Is we just sit there and just chat nonsense for whatever how long it is. And how come you decided to start drifting into that together? Why? Firstly, to do it together, you have to find a good partner to do it with. Not someone who goes to Fabric. Yeah. Into
I think he's doing a great job. Yeah, he turns up, he looks good, he smiles.
Yeah, just smiling.
That's his job.
Because also what you have to do is you have to figure out the dynamic between you two, right? That's what you have to do with a podcast, which people don't realise. Is that hard? So how come you guys did it with each other?
Well, he'd been asking me for ages to do a podcast. I was like, no.
We're talking like 2 years.
2 years of constantly.
Of me messaging him.
Every now and then he'd just whisper like, we'd make a sick podcast.
Yeah.
at night.
just on the pillow.
Whispering sweet nothings to him.
But eventually I was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'll do it. It'll be fun. I'll try something different. And we made a set and
But Kat, how come you knew about podcasting? Why did you always want to do a podcast?
Because I'd been asked to go on a few podcasts prior and I just loved it. I loved going on and I always thought like, oh, do you know what? Like, this is right up my street. And I'd done a lot of True Geordie did a lot of podcasts. Yeah. And so being on his, I was there like, you know, I have so much fun doing these things. I really want to do it. But like you said, it's so important picking who that other person is. Mm. And so the whole time, like, I was there like, oh, I could do it with someone. Because the first person I asked was Josh. And I was there like, yo, let's do it. And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. I said, right, okay, fine. So, but then I was there like, oh, maybe there's someone else.
KSI was first, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
There
was a couple of
JJ was 100%.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I think it was you, Chip.
Out of all of my friends, I thought, you know, Josh is
Chip would be the perfect guy.
The perfect guy, right?
And now I'm stuck with this fucking guy.
So, but then you guys decided to do it. And you did it because, was it the same as us where it was like one of those things, it's like that long format where you can just keep talking and just going for it and just saying whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Where with YouTube, you're limited to doing that, right, I feel. Where podcasts, you're not. Is that what you love about it?
I mean, I like it just so I can chat because I have so many things I want to say. But YouTube videos, you're never going to talk about it because I've got like, for example, today, like I'm driving around as a London cab driver today. I'm never going to be able to talk about what I think about fucking Candy Kittens or anything, you know? Really? These are the important things I want to talk about.
Yeah, these are the ones. You
know? pressing issues of the day.
Yeah. But I think with you guys, I think it is a great dynamic, and you get the guests on, and you guys are also doing the same thing where you're doing it every single week as well, aren't you? Do you ever have those moments where you get a guest on and you're like, then go, oh God, what do we have to do? Is going to be comfortable? What you worry about talking about? And then actually, what it teaches you to do is just be incredible at ad-libbing with one another.
Yeah,
we
wing it most of the time.
Yeah, we wing it 90%.
Guest turns up. We do a little wiki search.
And then go.
Well, who the fuck is this that we've got on again?
Because I also saw you had like a little header on one of your things with the girls' bathroom, saying about these.
Oh, video.
You said on your video, so on your YouTube channel, you had things saying that, oh, we're now going to have these guests on the podcast.
Yeah.
How come you said that?
I can't remember. We
squared up to them.
Tell me, talking about this. What happened?
So we messaged them.
And this was months ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like a few months back, we messaged them and we were there. Because they essentially do what we do, but the girl version. And all of our comments were like, you guys need to do one with both of them. So we're like, okay, fine. We'll drop them a message. We dropped them a message and we said, yo.
That's what he said.
I was like, what? She didn't fucking reply? What the fuck? No. I said, yeah, let's do the podcast, and then Chip messaged one as well,
and we just got
complete air. Like, I'm talking fucking hang time.
Well, man,
it was ages, and do you know what? We were there like, do you know what? Fuck those girls, right?
And so, I love the fact that you guys got aired and said it's their fault.
Yeah. No, because what an opportunity of a lifetime. you know, to come on the Fellas
podcast. Yeah.
No, but
maybe
no,
it was too much for them. They're like, we can't go on the podcast. It's
hello,
too big.
No, but the good news is we managed to get past our differences, and we've got something in the works with them. So that it's all come around eventually. But just after a bit of pressure had to be applied.
Well, we don't. You know what? We had them on our podcast. So
yeah.
It's just.
I mean, they obviously got their priorities.
Yeah. How quickly did they reply to you?
Oh, like that.
What did you say to them? Yo.
I just said yo. I said, do you hate cow like I hate it? And they're like, yeah. And I said,
Let's talk about it.
But I always feel like there does. You know, there is a lot of beef in the YouTubing world. I feel like there is, like, at the moment. Is that true, Josh? What do you think? Do you think there's beef?
I don't know. I don't really follow it that much. Obviously, like, we've got friends who do the whole boxing thing, yeah. So they're always beefing there, but you never know what's really real.
That's
because
that,
they're like trying
fake,
to promote
fake
fights.
Beef, isn't it?
So
some
like,
of it is, yeah.
Sometimes they're like, oh, maybe that bit's real. I don't even know.
But in the UK, to be fair, a lot of the UK people don't really have, like, beef.
It's not as bad as Americans.
The Americans go at it. They always
so dramatic.
But why? Why is there the style of doing it?
I don't know.
Because they know what sells. Like,
yeah, it attracts people to watch, doesn't it?
Whereas I feel like in the US, they're willing to sacrifice like that in the name of, like, you know, becoming money. Relevant, yeah. Clout, money, whatever it is. Whereas in the UK, people just aren't really quite as arsed.
I don't know if that's true, because I feel like,
well, who do you have beef with?
Yeah,
then?
No, should we start some podcast beef?
I hate having beef with anyone. I'm really not good.
I'm
at
the same.
It. Oh, dude, I hate it.
It's too stressful.
I just don't like people not liking me. That's literally what it is.
He's the ultimate people pleaser.
Yeah. You just sit on the fence.
Yeah,
you just
it's great up here. I like it.
Yeah, you just sit on the fence and they say something. But so you're the same as me. I just don't, maybe you're the same. I just don't like having beef with anyone. But I feel like, you know, because it was Joe Weller and KSI who started the whole boxing thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And actually, no. That'll cause. But we got our friend. It was actually Theo and Joe Weller, right?
Yeah,
it was Theo and Joe Weller did it first, but they did it on like a really small scale for a YouTube video, and then JJ and Joe Weller sort of made it really popular, and then did an event and so on. Yeah. But I just had to do that because otherwise Theo, our mate, will get onto us.
Yeah,
and be
well,
like,
JJ commented on that video saying, yo, I'll fight the winner out of Theo versus Joe. Theo lost, and then he went on to fight Joe in the actual big event.
Was that like who do you support during that? How does that work for you guys when it first started kicking off this whole YouTuber boxing? Because now it's like a phenomenon, right? Mm-hmm. You guys have created an industry. Which was never there before. And I always think with any business, once you create an industry, I think it's like a really impressive thing.
Do you know what? The whole YouTube boxing thing has got to be like one of the coolest things that I've ever seen happen.
It's stressful, though. It is actually really stressful.
Oh, it is. Yeah, if you've got
friends,
a friend,
you support
like,
your friends in it, and it's like you're sat there, you've had five bevs deep, and you're just in the crowd like,
every time I get
it's not, it's not actually that fun for me anyway.
Even the ones
would you ever box? Would you do it?
No, I don't think that's for me. I did get offered the opportunity once, and I was like, right, you know what, I might do it. And they told me the guy that was going to fight was like really a seasoned guy. He'd been doing it since he was a kid. And so I was like, you know what? He'll probably batter me. I'll step away from that. And then I watched him fight and he lost.
Really?
Yeah, he just
lost. And you reckon you could have given him that crack of
I think it was all a lie.
Really?
Yeah, because he looked like he'd been doing it for a week.
I've had three fights.
You lost two, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost two.
But who did you win?
What charity ones?
Did you beat? So I did charity ones. So what happened was, so I got asked to do a fight, so a white collar one, against this guy called Hamish Ross, who was... He's like a small guy, and I was like, I will batter him. I was like, this is going to be easy. And in my head, it was 3 2-minute rounds. So I was like, I run 800 meters. This is going to be like 3 800-meter races. Yeah, I'll be tired, but whatever. Oh, I had a Bloody Mary before I went in because I thought that would like G me up.
That's the weirdest thing to drink before a boxing match.
Yo, can we take that one back to the podcast?
Bloody Mary.
G me up. I like that. G me up. Having a Bloody Mary. Isn't that what you have when you're hungover?
Yeah. And I probably was, Cal. That's the way I rolled.
Straight out of Fabric.
Out of Fabric with Alex. Into his minnow.
Celery in your mouth.
Yeah, celery in my mouth. Putting salt on my head. So anyway, I went in and I didn't train, nothing like this. And I just started swinging. After about the fifth swing, I was exhausted, so tired. And I was like, oh, no, this is the worst thing I've ever done. I went into the corner. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Anyway, the bell rang for like the end of the first round. And I remember one of our friends called Josh looked at me and said, come on. And I went to him and I'm so tired. Which is the lamest thing you can say to anyone when you're in a boxing ring. Yeah.
I'm knackered, mate.
Dude, I just went, so tired. It's weeping. And then I went to the second round, and I had to take a knee. I had to give up.
Did you give up?
Shut up.
Well, at least you got in the ring, I guess.
Do you know what actually happened? This is totally true. I got something called a boxer's break. You can sit here on my hand. So you see a knuckle there. I didn't have that. That's actually from... I hit a friend, and it broke my hand. Sounds really odd. It wasn't like a fight. I just hit him and it broke
beating
him.
Up your mate and you broke your...
Yeah, I probably should have realised then that boxing was not for me when I hit my friend for fun and I broke my hand.
And you came off worse. It's probably a good sign to step away from the fight.
Anyway, I had this boxing break here. So in the second round, I claimed my hand hurt.
Oh, I remember.
Screw
now.
You guys. Yeah.
So not only did you give up, but there was an excuse for it.
Yeah.
I actually got thrown out of that event because I was
No, that wasn't that event.
Not that time. No. Oh, that was a different.
So then the second one.
Here we go. This is the second one.
Yeah.
So then we then had our second bout, me and Hamish Ross, and I trained for this one. And I was like, okay,
You trained for the first one?
No, I didn't. I would tell you, I didn't train. I thought, because I was like, I'm a fit guy. I'm quite sporty. I'll be fine. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. Second one, I came in there. First, I saw Alex Mitten. And what Alex will remind me of, I think, you know, when you come out of prison and you have your first drink, honestly, that's
why. Are you talking from experience?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really know.
Coming from the guy that drank a Bloody Mary before, you know what it's like when you've done time. You've done a three stretch. Yeah.
Okay, I was, honestly, like he had his first night out. He was the drunkest person. He was talking to me before I was going in the ring and he was looking the other way and I was like, what the hell is going on? Anyway, I go into the ring. And I win. I won this one and I beat him up and it was great. It felt amazing. And then you were thrown out.
I think I'd been thrown out by that point.
You threw out for nearly having a fight with everyone else.
I got so excited by the environment that I was just like, and then got ejected.
Anyway,
they escorted you out.
Yeah, well, they dragged me out, yeah. I was really bad.
When was
it? I think
this?
It was in the Daily Mail.
Did you come to this?
No. How old were you guys in the second?
Jamie would have been 43.
Young.
Yeah. Young Jamie.
Yeah. In back in the day. Anyway, I mean, it must have been like 4 years ago, or 3 or 5 years ago. And then I did a third one, and I was meant to fight the same guy, but then the guy pulled out, so I fought this other guy who was.
Not Giles Whittingham.
Tom Whittingham. Anyway, for this guy, he was like 10 kilos heavier than me. He's a big dude. Yeah, it's heavy.
He's not a big dude. He's 5'6". Man.
Yeah, but he's like a nugget, honestly. Anyway.
He's a nugget.
So you lost to a chicken nugget.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Josh, let's put some fucking gloves on and let's get in the ring. Let's see
what I swear to you, I'll put my life savings on Josh to win that. This man will not lose that scrap.
Get the Bloody Marys. I'm going in the ring.
Anyway.
Fetch my celery.
I went into the train, and... True. I knew what it was. It was his first fight. Uh-huh. And typically what happens with a boxing fight is that you come out and the other guys just start swinging because you don't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I was like, he's going to come out swinging. He's going to gas after the first round and then I can beat him up and whatever. So it's quite nerve-wracking. It's horrible. As you said, Josh, it's like awful. You watch these fights. Imagine being in it. So I get into the ring. He's there across the way from me. He's 10 kilos heavy. I'm like, okay, fine. This is going to be right. He's going to come at me. So I'm just going to be ready and just move around the place. And I was like, all right, here we go. Ding, ding, ding. And he went and stood still. And I went, oh, shit, he knows what he's doing. And I went, oh, God, I'm fucked. And I went for a punch. And he countered so hard. It felt like I'd been hit by a tractor. Honestly, it was so horrendous.
The nugget strikes again.
Honestly, I've been hitting like 50 chicken nuggets. And then I lost that one.
Can I watch these on YouTube later?
Yeah, you can watch it. Yeah.
They sound great.
So you guys would never fight. So you'd never get in the ring.
No, there's always enough money to get me in the ring, but I just haven't been offered that money yet.
Is that what? So they basically get sponsors and they get offered cash, and that's how it works.
Yeah. And it just has to be like an attractive enough offer in order to get the said person into the ring. I would never do it like for a charity thing. You lost your mind. No way. I don't care about people enough. Yeah,
don't support charities on the fellas.
Yeah, just in it for the
we support
hard
our
cash.
Bank accounts.
Yeah, unless I'm seeing personal games.
At least you're honest about it.
You'll see personal games around the rig. That's what happens. You get a little bit...
Would you say you've seen personal games when you got fucking countered by the nugget?
By a nugget.
Yeah.
Some serious games.
Yeah, some serious games around my muscles. I got some games. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I felt great. All right, team, listen, that's the end of part one. We're going to stick around for part two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Wait, awesome. Why?
What's happening in part two?
Oh my God, it's going to be insane. All right, everybody, we'll see you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.